This is Totally Heroes. This is our theme song. Yeah, we're Totally Heroes. Well, you've got Dave, and he's the host. We're sorry about that. But hey, there's always Shank, and he's kind of cool. He's like a really techie guy. And then there's Brian. Well, he is the Jason Statham of Lord of the Rings Online. Really doesn't make any sense. But we talk about video games on Totally, Totally Heroes. Well, this song really stinks, but the show is awesome. Listen to Totally, Totally Heroes by QGN. That stands for Quest Gaming Network. Yeah, Totally, Totally Heroes. Gonna start right now. We promise it's better than this theme song. Take it away, Dave. Take it away, Shank. Brian, join in too. Totally Heroes, going live right now.
What up, everybody? Welcome to Totally Heroes, QGN Roundtable Discussion, where we talk about what's going on in the industry. My name is Dave D'Enforce Adams, and I will be your lead host for tonight's wonderment through the world of gaming. Also with me tonight is Brad Furu.
Is this going to be a thing now? Like,
no,
we're just going to butcher
totally
Japanese romanizations?
No. What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome, Grand Con Joseph Bradford. And last but not least, the Lord of Need for Speed and all things Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein!
Shank Tank.
That's right, you guys. I am back for another fantastic episode of The Heroes of Totals.
Seriously?
We have a good show for you guys today. We've got some cool new Pokemon announcements, but nobody really cares about Pokemon, so that's
except
not
everyone who matters.
Except
what?
It's not really a big deal.
Fallen.
And then Buddha de Fudu is going to talk about Evo and a cool little interview that he got recorded for us. We're going to be playing that for you. And of course, me, I'm going to be talking about PC Master Race dominating the PC is dominating gaming hardware sales. PC Master Race.
Is there a better way to put that?
No, probably not. That is, like, with me, no.
That's about as soft as we get it.
PC dominating gaming hardware sales.
Well, it is. We'll get into that.
It is, though. And of course, we have your Quatwa. But before we get into any of that, Bradford, I like circular wood saws.
Okay.
I
don't know what to do with this, man. I mean, you're leaving me nothing here.
Audible ad.
That makes no sense,
but
though.
But that's the intro.
It's a crappy intro.
Segway!
Audible.com. Download your free audiobook at audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork, and you'll receive a special 30-day free trial. If you're a fan of The Elder Scrolls, you'll love The Infernal City Elder Scrolls novel by Greg Keyes. And also, when you finish that, you can download Lord of Souls Elder Scrolls Book 2 by Greg Keyes. These novels take place 40 years after the Oblivion Crisis. Of course, you can get this all at audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork.
All right. Thank you, Bradford.
I mean, circular sauce.
Wait. Like, circular sauce.
Seriously?
Yes, I know. They've given me worse. Thank you, Senpai Barada Furu Furu.
I think it's actually pronounced Joseph Barada Furu.
Senpai Joseph Barada Furu. We got it right that time. All
yeah,
right,
we did,
on.
Dude. Good hey, job, virtual dude. Shank.
Virtual high five.
Baka da shou.
Awesome. All right, so up next in the news for this past week, Pokemon is to ballin'. Yeah, that's right. Pokemon Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby, and I genuinely am reporting on this because they are doing what we haven't seen from previous generations, and that's getting in on the Nintendo hype. Every little detail about the game they're putting out in a brand new way, where they'll go and they'll pick one thing at a time to put forward to try to build the hype train. Now, this is something that this game releases with, you know, hundreds of new Pokemon for each new generation. This is actually a remake. Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby is actually a remake of a previous version, yet there is new content that they will be adding into the game, specifically the Mega Metagross, which is ballin' because I have a shiny version of it, and now I can make a shiny Mega Metagross. But anyway, the big deal with this is actually the way that they're presenting this game, cutting the bits and pieces of it apart, unlike previous versions of the game where they present the game as a whole and present all of the new additions as a whole. They haven't gone into this much depth with this type of franchise before. It's kind of surprising to see such a...
It is.
They're keeping the hype train up instead of just dropping it and walking away.
And immediately. Does this mean they're chopping up the content and selling it in bits and pieces?
No, they have not gone to Ubisoft yet.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Speaking of neat things in the industry, The Wolf Among Us, a Telltale game, has finally completed Season 1 by releasing Episode 5, Cry Wolf, this previous Friday.
I'm not going to lie. I seriously thought you were going to say Season 1, Cry Engine. I'm not even kidding.
Kind of. This absolutely has nothing to do with CryEngine, but it has everything to do with awesome. Okay?
That's almost as bad as me calling the White Council Mightiest and Friends.
Exactly, yeah, I know. This game is... It has adult themes. It does. Ooh. It has... Telltale games. It's very story-driven, like they've been... putting out with things like the Back to the Future games, as well as the renditions of the different stories following Clementine of the
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead. Thank you. I know.
They'll be doing the Tales of the Borderlands and Game of Thrones here soon too.
Yes, which is exciting because really, if you want to get the full feeling of what Telltale games can do when it has all of its power behind it, this is its poster child. The Wolf Among Us really shows what this type of gameplay style can be. And it literally feels like you're playing a comic book. That's what it feels like. It draws you in, though. You really get the feeling for the characters because you make the choices along the way that affect the characters as you come up alongside them further and further in the story. You have choices that can resonate from the first chapter all the way throughout the story to the fifth. It's very impressive how they connect the dots down the line.
So what you're saying is it's a story-driven narrative, more for probably a mature audience, where your choices carry throughout the entire game.
Are you reading that off of the site?
No, because what I'm going to now say is, so it's basically The Witcher.
No. Telltale games make their games to be good.
Right, so so it's wow. It's The Witcher.
Oh, ouch. Oh. That stung.
It's okay, nothing can be bad as Pokemon.
You're the reason I cried.
Hey, The way that you described the news, Dave, I'm actually excited for both Pokemon and possibly getting into The Wolf Among Us. I have Episode 1. I just haven't had the chance to play it because when I downloaded it, I had my Xbox. It was on my Xbox 360, and I literally have played it for the first time yesterday since I picked up my Xbox One. So, yeah. So I'll probably go back and play it now the way that you just talked about it, because I've heard nothing but great things about this. I get all of the press releases. I mean, I see all the news. I'll just have to find a time to play it when my daughter's not awake if it's got mature stuff in it.
It does have mature stuff. You know, sex, drinking, violence. It does have that.
Well, now.
Oh, so it's modern-day Game of Thrones.
It is modern-day Game of Thrones. In fact, it's a fairy tale Game of Thrones. the characters in it are fairy tale characters. It's actually based off of a comic, a graphic novel is what I should call it, called Fables, where fable characters.
Wait. Does this have anything to do with like Aesop's fables and stuff?
It has different things like, you know, Georgie Porgy and Snow White and the so literally Grimm's the Brothers. Main character in The Wolf Among Us is the big bad wolf.
So it's like Grimm's fairy tales?
Very much.
Well, all right.
Definitely has a lot of story to fall back on from the graphic novels, but it does its own thing. It's an amazing game all in its own, but it's backed up by a huge amount of lore, just like a lot of the other games that are the Telltale Saga games, like we would expect with Borderlands. Is going to have a ton of lore. Game of Thrones, I'm sure there's a little bit of lore that goes with that, right?
Just a wee bit.
This is the kind of thing. Like it's so packed full of lore that when you play the game, you don't play the game, oh, look, I'm meeting a character for the first time. You play the game, it's like, wow, this character's fully fleshed out the second I step into it. And it's extremely well done.
So what are the systems that someone can purchase this game on? Do you know? I know you play it on PC. I have it for Xbox 360.
I do play it on PC. Right, I know here. It's on Xbox, but
yeah, it's right here. It's PC, Mac, 360, PS3.
There you go.
And by PC, I'm assuming Steam.
Steam. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. That's kind of funny. Okay. I don't mean to like detract us real quick, but
go for it.
No Wii U for that engine. I would expect Wii U.
You know, the way it looks, I think it would have done really well on the Wii U. But from the games that are, or the systems that are tied to it, it seems like they may have put out the thought process toward building this on engines before the Wii U. Because
and I know that the other games that Telltale puts out, they eventually get ported to like mobile and stuff too. So I can only imagine how awesome it would be to actually use the gamepad screen on a Wii U controller with this kind of game.
Oh yeah. Oh man, I think it'd be great if you had the ability to point at your screen with the Wii controller. That would be very effective in this game.
Can you stab people in this game? Like
if you make the choice, just as a hint, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but you have multiple choices in this game that get you into fights.
So you could like stab people with the Wiimote.
You can rip someone's arm off.
If it was on Wii.
Okay, if it was on Wii, you could take them to the Mii party and dance with them.
Just dance.
Wow. So
like, that's a shot coming from a Nintendo fanboy. Keep posting Tamagotchi life crap and I'm going to not like y'all anymore, Nintendo.
So basically, it sounds like you like this and the Pokemon news.
And that's our show. Great job, everybody!
Wow.
Good job by us.
Before we move on, can one of you kindly watch the chat room, please?
I am.
Excellent. Okay. Do you have anything else to say on this, man?
I think we're good.
Okay. I think that means it's time for Buddha de Fodu.
First of all, there's no do sound in Japanese. So just stop. If you're going to say it, Bura do fo do.
Do. Bura do fo do.
So evil happened this week. And if you guys have been under a rock this past, or if you follow my Twitter and have tweets I've had this past 2 days, Evo happened. It's the big fighting game championship that takes place every year in Las Vegas. Last year it was at the Paris, but the actual ballroom was in the Bally's, so it got really confusing if you didn't know where any of those were. Good job by you guys, Evo. This year it was at the Westgate, which up until like last month was known as the LVH, so even more confusion. Good job again, Evo. But I will say this year I think was a better tournament. I wrote up a piece for Quest Gaming Network today, just kind of going through my thoughts. I wasn't going to try and go into some like real technical things because honestly, I don't know anything about fighting games. I know that, you know, you have high punch, low punch, medium punch, stuff like that. I don't know the intricacies of the combat and stuff, you know, spacings and you know, dropping frames and stuff like that.
I was just about to say, is you at fighting games like me in LOTRO?
No, because I have an idea of what's going on at least.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Yeah. So, thanks, Shank. So I didn't get the chance to go all 3 days. It started on Friday. You had the pools essentially happening where everyone's kind of trying to get out of their pool. You have on Saturday, you have some finals. I mean, I know the Super Street Fighter Turbo final was on Saturday. I was actually there for that. Then you had the grand finals on Sunday. And let me just tell you, while technology is cool, and if you can't be in Las Vegas for that, for this, you can watch it at home. And from what I understand, the stream got over 120,000 concurrent viewers on Sunday. And I don't think even lagged a bit, at least on my end.
How did Twitch like not break?
I don't know. It's a testament to those guys' technological ability. It's a testament to the fighting game community as well and how popular this tournament really has become. I know I watched a little bit of it on Sunday because I had to go to church in the morning. I wasn't skipping church for it. But then I left straight from church, went to LVH. I had I'm going to keep calling it the LVH. It's the Westgate. I had my daughter and my nephew with me because my nephew wanted to see the Smash Brothers Brawl, Smash Brothers Melee final. So we went to that. Then I dropped them off at the house and came back for the end part of Marvel and the Ultimate Super Street Fighter 4, the main event, essentially. While I was at home, I was making them dinner and stuff, and I had the stream running on my Xbox One. No problems whatsoever. And I think at that time it had about 116,000 viewers. So, yeah, it's a testament to their ability. I will say this, though. Watching it on my Xbox and being there, so different. Oh, so different. The crowd is so alive. I mean, if my 5-year-old daughter can figure out when something cool happens to start cheering and clapping at these things, I was never a more proud parent in my life than when MDR Razor Axe's Pikachu took out what's the other guy's name? Took out Silent Wolf's Fox in under a minute. My daughter was rooting for Pikachu, so all she knew was that Pikachu won, and she jumped on her feet, started clapping and cheering, "Yay, Pikachu!" There's never a more proud parent than that right there. No, but
you're raising her right.
Yeah,
I know. This year, you had just iconic moments like that all throughout the tournament. You had the big name fighters. You had Daigo. You know, he is what's considered a Japanese Street Fighter god, get defeated by the same guy in two different tournaments. You got knocked out of the Ultra Street Fighter 4 and the Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo competition by Johnny Choi, who then ended up losing both of those tournaments as well himself. You had the very first ever European Street Fighter champion be crowned this year. You had Justin Wong get back to the top of Marvel after, you know, losing the past 3 years. I think he lost last year in the grand finals. You had him finally get back to the pinnacle of what he's known to be the best in the world at that game. And just the emotion that he showed when he finally, you know, jumped over that hurdle. I wanted to collapse right where I was standing with the guy. I mean, it was just – that room was just so alive. There's nothing quite like actually being at these things. Read the full write-up. It's on Quest Gaming Network. I added a ton of links because IGN and a couple other sites were gracious enough to post every individual match on YouTube so you can go back and watch each moment. So all the moments that I'm talking about, there's YouTube links to those fights. Go back and watch those. Even if you're not a fighting game like savant or fighting, you don't follow the fighting game community a ton, it's definitely worth looking at and just kind of appreciating what they've got going on there. Next year's Evo is geared up to be even bigger and better, and I don't know how it can top you know, the tournaments, the matches we had this year. But if it's anything like this year, then I can't wait. It's, I think I enjoyed the atmosphere there more than I enjoyed the atmosphere at E3. And I think that's because I was surrounded by people who didn't have any inhibitions for screaming their head off, whereas E3, you were kind of like, you know, snotted upon if you were a media person going crazy for a game. So,
I have a question.
Yeah.
How was the Super Smash Bros. Grand Final Battle?
It was awesome because it had Jigglypuff in it.
Dude, did anybody down B? If you go to Brinstar Depths...
Yes. Did you not watch that video that I sent you?
No, dude. I was watching World Cup.
Okay. No, this morning.
Oh, this morning. No.
I tweeted you a video.
I didn't get any video.
Okay. I sent it to you on Twitter.
I didn't... Okay, I missed it.
Ladies, you're both pretty. Let's talk. Come on.
Go to youtube.com/QuestGamingNetwork. I posted a short snippet from the actual grand finals. I did record it on my phone from where I was sitting. And there are a couple instances where he killed... If I think he wins the match on a down B.
Yes! Dude, that's... Seriously, that is the most, like... I love what my buddies and I, did back in middle school. Like, whenever we played Smash Brothers, what we'd all play as Jigglypuff and play in Brinstar Depths. You know, that's the map, like, where it keeps rotating and stuff. And it was literally just a down B contest. Because if you missed, then you were screwed. And it was just, oh my god, it was hilarious. I highly suggest, if you haven't done that, play Smash Bros. Melee, all Jigglypuffs at Brinstar Depths. Really, really intense.
I just posted a link in the chat for those of you who are watching this live. Check that out. Some of the other things that were going on at the tournament, I was more resolved to be in the ballroom this year because last year I kind of hung out in the side tournaments. My favorite fighting game is Soul Calibur. That was the first fighting game I ever played, was the original Soul Blade on PlayStation. I just kind of hung out at the Soul Calibur 5 side tournament. This year they were having massive technical problems at the Madcast booth, so I didn't kind of stick around there. They had this really cool Mugen. In fact, if you're watching the stream, you see a picture of it right now. They have this really cool Mugen-powered DBZ game.
Yes! Oh, I love Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, it's a free download. I downloaded it on my PC last night. I just set up my gamepad, so I'm able to play it with my Xbox One controller. It's pretty sweet. They had that running, and I was telling Shank off-air, he was kind of poo-pooing the Surface tablet. That Surface tablet did better than the entire Mad Catz booth in maintaining a stream. So that was pretty cool. They had some pretty cool... They had this really cool indie place. The guys from Aztez, if you guys remember me talking about Aztez back when Level Up Expo was going on, that's one of my really most anticipated games this year. I've seen him at everything that I've gone to. I caught him, caught Ben, the guy who's the lead artist in it, in the hallway as he was leaving the hotel, so I didn't get the chance to play it, but they were there. That was pretty cool, but I spent most of my time in the ballroom, and I don't think I regret that decision at all. It was so cool. So that's Evo. Go read the article. Watch the videos, live the hype, as I'm being told that's a thing that's said around there. I don't get what it means.
So before we cut into your interview real quick, is where can I get this Dragon Ball Z game? Because I want it now, especially if it's free.
I'll post the link.
All right, excellent. Interview time?
Interview time.
All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Bradford, do you want to set it up real quick?
Yes, yeah, so essentially... If you guys remember, back in March, I did an interview with a company out here in Vegas called Complete Gamer Evolved. And at the time, you know, they were just kind of starting up. They were trying to just kind of get the word out there that they exist and stuff. They do a lot of charity work around here, which I think is pretty cool. And that's one reason that I really wanted to interview them. Well, they've since grown. They have hosted a couple tournaments here in town, a couple Call of Duty tournaments. They've just begun to... embark on this really cool venture that is open to anybody. So that's what the interview is basically going to be talking about. So go ahead and play the interview, and then I can kind of talk about it afterwards.
All right, here we go, guys.
All right, so this is Bradford, and I'm here with Shrona Thompson from Complete Gamer Evolved, and we're talking about an opportunity for Call of Duty fans and Call of Duty teams out there who are looking to break into the professional gaming scene. How's it going, Shrona, first of all?
It's going well. It's going busy. Trying to get these applications in and have everything provided and answer questions. So it's been kind of busy for the last few days. Trying to get everything ready for this.
Well, if you've seen my Twitter, I've been retweeting a ton of, you know, Complete Gamers tweets. If you've been following them at all, you'll notice that they are, you know, potentially offering a opportunity for your Call of Duty team to be flown out here to Vegas to compete in a reality TV show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So they would be flown out here for a week. And during that week, they would have physical challenges to have them work as a team, as well as gameplay. And with that, they would have the potential of becoming the final team, the winner, and win a bunch of prizes. And are you ready for me to describe the prizes or
yeah,
more about
the competition?
Yeah,
I was going to ask. what is at stake here? What do these teams have a chance to actually win?
Okay, so I have the list in front of me so I can do it really quickly. But basically four setups. The MLG and UMG, which you guys know, are the major gaming companies that host major LAN events. They have switched to Xbox One consoles, and that switch is very expensive with $400 a console. And then you have a team of four, so that can be very expensive. So we're offering, if it's the team that wins, four Xbox Ones, four monitors with a very fast refresh time, about 1 millisecond, which is definitely faster than your TV, four wired controllers with an allowance for some MLG-approved modifications, four jerseys, four one-year memberships to Xbox Live, and four memberships to MLG Game Battles, which is where they can also, you know, compete in tournaments and win pro points, and two team passes to major gaming events, including the hotel and travel to those events. And that's what we have right now for the prize. If any other companies want to chime in and offer something extra, we're definitely willing to accept those and pass it on to the teams.
Now, essentially, when you look at it, this can be considered kind of a sponsorship, so that, you know, you have everything that you need in order to be able to focus on just getting better to better compete. Am I mistaken in that? I mean, I don't know if you guys are going to have their jerseys emblazoned with the Complete Gamer logo or anything, but you're providing the necessary equipment to make some people's dreams essentially come true.
Right. It would be definitely a jump start to getting them ready for major events. They wouldn't necessarily come under our umbrella as Complete Gamer, a Complete Gamer sponsored team. The companies that do sponsor the event might want logos. That might be a condition that the team accepts when they accept the winning the prize and everything, that they want to get that shout out that they supplied such and such for this competition. But for us, no, we just want to facilitate the opportunity for teams to get this prize, if you will.
Okay, so you say that they'll be flown out here to Las Vegas for a week. What exactly will they be doing? This is for a TV show out here, so they're going to be filming, obviously. But
right.
Do you have any examples of any of the physical competitions they'll have to do in addition to the gameplay competitions? And how will these events be judged? Do you guys know yet?
Right now, we're considering an obstacle course, where part of the obstacle course, you'd have a puzzle piece that you have to work as a team to complete. We're also considering a scavenger hunt in downtown Las Vegas, which is, you know, has been revitalized and is increasing in popularity as a place to go visit in Las Vegas. Also, as far as gameplay, you'll have to demonstrate that your team knows how to play the typical game modes of search and destroy, domination, and blitz. And hoping that we can also get some well-known casters like Smiting Fatty, Mrs. Violence, who's already out here in Las Vegas, to come and critique your team's efforts and sum these things up into a score. And that's where we're going to determine who gets to win the prize.
Now, we've said it a couple times, this is going to be a TV show. Is this just going to be something locally on the Las Vegas CW station, or is this going to be something that they're going to be showing on all of their sister stations around the country? Do you guys know that yet also?
From what I understand, CW Las Vegas will be airing and broadcasting. As far as the other CW network stations, I'm not exactly sure. But we're hoping that they see this as a show that the whole country can enjoy, especially as, you know, the casters explain what it means when, you know, these people play these games, it's not just people running around shooting each other. There's actually strategy involved. There's technique. There's skill involved in these games.
Now, this also isn't just open to people here in the local Las Vegas area. This is open to anyone who applies. Are there any limitations? Are there any travel restrictions, anything like that, that people need to be aware of?
We're asking for 16 years old or older. If a team member is under 18, then we're asking for either another team member to be the chaperone, or for we can allow for one parent or guardian to come as a chaperone. Limitations would be that you're not a pro. You are not considered a pro according to MLG pro point standing. So that means you're not in the top 2% or 100 players at the top of the MLG rankings. I think we had to turn down a team because they were considered pro. It was kind of, we were honored that they would consider our competition, but their standings in MLG just excluded them from the competition. We're looking for people who are in the U.S., the continental U.S., and what else? Just exciting individuals. There are players who would appreciate an opportunity like this, that are willing to come out to Vegas for a week and be filmed and have fun and play their best and hopefully be chosen as the winner of our competition.
Well, if anything else, this is essentially a free trip to Vegas. So definitely worth you know, taking a look at. Now, you guys are just doing it for Call of Duty. If this is a success, are there any talks about possibly expanding this into the fighting game community or into other competitive gaming scenes?
Yes and yes. Definitely. Okay. If this is a success, it would be great to, you know, have League of Legends or Dota 2 or, you know, Smash Brothers competition as well. I think we were just talking about how could we do a fighting game version of this show. So, yes, if this is a success, then we will definitely be considering other genres. Now, the age requirement might not go down any further for those who are young. So we might just keep it at 16 plus, but keep having birthdays and, you know, one year you could qualify for this. So that'll be exciting to see other genres come to the light of the rest of the world.
Is there any sort of deadline that this has to be in by? All right. So is there any sort of deadline at all that these guys have to get their teams in by?
Yes, the application is each individual member has to fill out a team member application. We have an online form. If you're under 18, please have your parent or guardian fill it out with you. There's a part for them to kind of write their name as their e-signature to sign off that they understand that my child is trying to apply for this. Then we're asking for a YouTube video that showcases the team's personality and explains what this opportunity would mean to them, and then a $20 processing fee. All these parts, I think it's about six parts, right? Each application, four members, the YouTube video, the processing fee, have to be in by July 29th. And they can come in pieces, but all together, everything has to be completed by July 29th at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
So July 29th, that's about 2 weeks away. And then I think filming starts end of August, correct?
No, filming starts the second week of August.
Second week of August.
So definitely, if you're going to apply, let your boss know. I'm going to be told if I'm going to be accepted to go to Las Vegas for this competition, you know, so I think we put it in there. Let your boss know, let your family know I might be gone second week of August to go compete for this. The airing date is the end of August, which is exciting that, you know, you come here for a week and then 2 weeks later get to see yourself on TV and hopefully have won the event.
Well, really appreciate you taking the time. Is there anything else that you'd like to plug while you're on here? Maybe any future events that you guys have going on, or just exactly who you guys are and what you're trying to do as well?
Plug for the next event. I believe next Tuesday we're going to be going out, hopefully, with Vegas Gamers to volunteer at 3 Square from 5 to 7 p.m. Those can come out, please do, and just giving back to the community. You'll see our plugs if you follow us on Twitter. We'll let you know who's been helping with us, who's been working with us to get this, to make this possible, and so you can follow them as well and support them. Hope this is a great opportunity and a success so that we can open it up to more genres and you know, basically give more jump starts to gamers.
And how can everyone follow you guys on Twitter?
To follow us on Twitter, we are CompleteGamer1 is our Twitter name. We also have a Facebook page, Complete Gamers Evolved, on Facebook. And then if you want to follow us on or look at our webpage, it's complete-gamers with an S, -evolved.squarespace.com.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, and hopefully we get some people out there who are really looking forward to this. And I hope there's a way that, you know, us as Quest Gaming Network can be involved in this throughout the entire process as well. So we'll make sure to keep everyone posted. And if any other news comes down, you know, don't hesitate to give me a call.
Definitely. Thank you guys for this interview, and hope this gets out to more gamers and they will apply. We're definitely open for questions, so feel free to hit us on Twitter or to go to our website and fill out a contact us form. Yes, we're ready for questions and ready to answer them so that we can get this opportunity out there.
All right, man. Tons of information. That sounds pretty, I'm not going to lie. I wish I didn't suck at Call of Duty.
Except you do.
Same here. So yeah, as she said, that is open to anybody in the continental United States, 16 or older. If you've got a COD team, if you have friends who have been interested in, you know, possibly participating in some tournaments, or maybe you dominate your little local tournament scene and you want to, you know, maybe start trying to branch out, make a name for yourself, check out their website, follow at CompleteGamer1 on Twitter, and they'll point you in the right direction.
Dude, that's okay. That's pretty epic. I say we make a QGN Call of Duty League, and I'll be the team leader.
Oh god!
I don't think we'll qualify because if you didn't listen, they have to make sure you can actually play.
Right, exactly. Dave's like, so what do the guns do?
Yeah, yeah. That's what you would do.
All right, Bradford, is there anything else fun and exciting that you had to encounter at EVO 2014 that you would like to bring to the show right now?
No.
No?
Just go read the article, questgamingnetwork.com. It's on the front page. So read the article. Let me know how bad it sucked.
All right, that's questgamingnetwork.com. Real quick before we move on, I just want to verify, there was Smash Brothers tournaments at EVO? Bradford?
My internet keeps cutting out.
Ah, okay. You still here?
I'm still here.
Okay, just to verify, there were Smash Brothers tournaments at EVO?
There was.
I think we're having Bradford problems.
Bradford problems.
Bradford problems.
All the little casual stations.
You came in for like two words.
All right, just a minute.
Okay. Bradford will be right back. But while we're waiting, I'm going to go ahead and since there were, and I know there were Smash Brothers tournaments at Nintendo, I'm going to look at Nintendo of America's Twitter page to see what it posted out during the weekend. All right. Are y'all ready to hear the Nintendo of America tweets that had to do with EVO 2014?
Wait, hold up. What is their handle? I can look it up for the stream, too.
It's Nintendo America, at Nintendo America. You'd think, you know, hey, they're having, like, the biggest thing ever in the world right now, and they should kind of focus on that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, go to Nintendo of America, and you'll see all these things that have nothing to do with any of the EVO tournaments that would have basically lined their pockets.
Wow. Tomorrow we're starting a Tamagotchi Life Photo a Day Challenge. Get your screenshots ready.
I counted out of, like, I even messaged them earlier today. The last six things that they put out were Tamagotchi Life, a game that they've gotten enormous amounts of flack from. They're, like, all in on Tamagotchi Life. They don't care what else is going on in the community, and this is horrible. This is what this show is about, is talking about the gaming industry. Well, the gaming industry is falling on its face right now. I'm a Nintendo fanboy, but I'll tell you, this is wrong. This is absolutely what they should be trying to focus on and trying to get going, is their connection to these big gaming conventions, because that's what people watch.
It's honest, dude, having a Smash Bros. Tournament, that is, like, free marketing.
It is, but how many things on here are Evo?
Wait, hold on. I see Mario and Luigi take time out to enjoy new something.
McDonald's. New Happy Meals.
That?
Yeah.
That's, well, they could start fighting.
Oh, boy. Now, let's go down here. They actually have some videos that I believe did air during Evo, such as the new characters, new challengers that are going to be coming to Smash Brothers. But do they even tag Evo or anything on here to kind of tie it in?
No. There's a fashion skills tweet.
Yeah, there is. For the Tamagotchi Life, which is what they've gotten a lot of flack over.
Oh, wait, hold on, Dave, but there's a Siesta Fiesta launch trailer.
Oh, boy. Then Tamagotchi Life. Then Tamagotchi Life. Then Tamagotchi Life. Hyrule Warriors. Then Tamagotchi Life. Then Tamagotchi Life. More Tamagotchi Life. Oh, what's this? Smash Brothers. A new challenger will be revealed here, and you're able to watch it. And then Tamagotchi Life. Shovel Knight. Tamagotchi Life. Come on, seriously? They didn't cover this at all.
But they
Nintendo of America didn't do their job.
But they have Princess Zelda.
Well, you know what? This is wrong. They're really missing out. In fact, the chat room is saying Nintendo is really missing out on these opportunities, and they are. They had free advertising, and they would rather talk about a damn Tamagotchi Life game than get in on the free advertising.
I'm pretty sure, I mean, Evo, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave and chat, but I'm pretty sure Evo is, like, the biggest fighting game tournament.
Pretty sure it is.
In the world.
And, you know, this would be the number one time for them to get off their high horse of the stance of, oh, it's our game, you can't stream it. This is the time. This was their chance. They missed their chance to get off their butts and be like, we support our fans. We support the people who support us. Wouldn't that have been nice, Nintendo of America?
I think, well, it's more than that, though. It's more than just the fans, because obviously, you know, the fans came out in droves and watched the show. It's also, it would also be, you know, extending a hand to the people that even created and, like, formed the event in the first place. You know, because they're saying, like, you know what, we're going to create this tournament, and we're going to actually, and I don't know if this was the first year Smash Brothers was there, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, they're including this game, which will only draw in more fans, you know, so it's kind of like that kind of thing. It's times like this, and you've heard me say this countless times, that Nintendo frustrates the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And,
you know, I'm how many times have I said this episode? I'm a huge Nintendo fanboy.
Yeah.
And seeing this gets me pissed. First off, it's beyond at this point, it's beyond not seeking the advertising. It's beyond that at this point. We're at the level now where it's, okay, first off, they knew about it, or else they wouldn't have posted the Smash Brothers stuff right on top of it. They capitalized on that. What they didn't capitalize, what they didn't do, was share any of the glory with Evo. They're trying to disconnect them from other names. Because for whatever reason, whether it be that they seek all of the glory of the moment, or whether they don't trust any other brand name than theirs, whatever reason it is, it doesn't look like that from a fan. Speaking as a fan, watching what happened, my thought process is that they did this because they're greedy, arrogant jerks who, if it isn't given the Nintendo stamp of approval, it's not worth talking about.
Well, I mean, that's why I've been annoyed at them the last two E3s, because they're doing their own thing, kind of like sheltered away, sort of, you know. It feels disconnected from their fan base. That's the thing. And this is kind of like, I guess, just another one of those moments. But I don't know, man. I mean, this is the part where Nintendo frustrates me. I don't look, why would you have so many fans, first of all, in person there. You have people playing your game, and it's being live streamed to Bradford was like, what did he say, 140,000 people, Twitch streamers, like Twitch viewers concurrently or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that big opportunity, I think, to to do some cross promotion with not just Evo, but Evo's also obviously Evo is helping out Nintendo as well, showing off Smash Brothers. Might not be their new Smash Brothers, but it is a Nintendo brand. Building on obviously what's coming out next spring, which is the new Smash Brothers. So I don't know. It's mind-boggling, to put it lightly.
Well, Crispy in the chat room says, we're sitting here talking about Nintendo now, so they're doing something right. My honest opinion, sitting here watching this all weekend, I've been thinking this from the very first part of this weekend. Like, we have Evo going on. They're not even talking about it.
But, yeah, I mean, I think the thing is, like, yeah, I mean, yes, we're talking about Nintendo now, but it's not for the right reasons.
Right. But you know what this irritates me to the point where whatever game it was that they were talking about, for this case, it's Tamagotchi Life. You could hand me a free copy of Tamagotchi Life. I'd throw it in the garbage at this point.
Yeah,
this reminds me of the debauchery of when Bethesda wanted to talk about that sneaky game instead of Skyrim.
Dishonored. Well, that wasn't really Bethesda, though.
900% of their effort into Dishonored and none of it into talking about the issues with moving DLC to the PS3.
That was different, though. Those were two different studios, not necessarily. It wasn't the same people
it
developing.
It was the same PR people.
Yeah, but I think it's different because you're talking about literally a hardware manufacturer who also happens to be making the games.
They're not just a hardware manufacturer.
No, but that's my point. I think this is bigger because you're talking about a hardware manufacturer who also happens to make their own games. So I think the issue here is, in my opinion, it's compounded by that fact.
It's offensive. Like, okay, I get it. You want to talk about Tamagotchi Life. You want to talk about whatever. It's your games. Talk about it as much as you want. But for them to completely disregard Evo is, well, honestly, the only way to describe it is that it's a slight against the people who enjoyed Evo. For the manufacturer of the game that to just completely disregard it.
I mean, we could ask why they did it, but we're not going to get an answer from them.
We're not going to get an answer.
But Dave, look how happy Mario and Luigi look, you guys.
Yeah.
Look, they've got DK and Yoshi, it's all very existential. Look at the smile on the Happy Meals box on the right here.
Okay, that Happy Meal? Anyway, we're not going to go into that Happy Meal box.
So yeah, no idea if Bradford's back. He might be.
No, I don't think so.
In any event,
alright, it's time for us to move on. I'm sorry about my rant on Nintendo. I've been saving that in.
But I think at this point we need to introduce a new motto here on Totally Heroes. If a presenter gets left behind, leave him. So in
no man left behind unless, we gotta leave him behind.
in that event, while Brad Fodu is battling the internet peasants, as it were, I'm going to speak about something that genuinely put a very, very wry smile and admittedly elitist smirk on my face, and I'm not going to shy away from this at all. So if you guys want to call me an elitist, please feel free. It's not on, it's not entirely false. Just gonna, you know, remind you guys that I own both last gen and current gen consoles, so not really sure what you can say there. Oh, is this Bradford? Ah!
Sorry.
So, in the time you were gone, we instituted a new rule that if a Totally Heroes host gets left behind, he stays behind.
Gosh, the U.S. military would be so proud of you.
We moved on to my little news piece here after we had a nice little tangent on Nintendo. I think it's well-deserved, though. Basically, this is a research report here from John Petty Research, and this is called the Worldwide PC Gaming Hardware Market Report Series. Long name. And, of course, here, I mean, it's basically a bunch of numbers. There were a few tidbits here that I pulled out. And Ted Pollack, for those of you listening and can't see this visually here, Ted Pollack, who's a senior gaming analyst at JR, notes that the $21.5 billion market for the PC is over twice the size of the console gaming hardware market, saying, quote, "We continue to see a shift in casual console customers moving to mobile. While this is also occurring in the lower-end PC gaming world, more money is being directed to mid- and high-range PC builds and upgrades by gamers. Committed PC gamers are generally not interested in pure content consumption platforms. They are power users and pay thousands for the ability to play games at very high settings and then do business, video, photo editing, content creation, and other tasks with maximum horsepower at their disposal, in a desktop ergonomic environment." So let's stop right there. Let's dissect this a little bit. What he is effectively saying is that, as I get more Skype notes here, that's cool, Bradford. What I'm seeing, what this is basically saying is that there's a lot, what this research firm is seeing is a shift to mobile from casual console gamers. And also they're seeing this in a little bit in the lower end PC gaming, in the PC, low end PC space. And because of that, you know, we're getting the mid-range and the high-end, almost you would consider like enthusiast PCs, basically spending more money, and they're willing to spend more money to get basically the absolute best machine for not just games, but also for what are called power user tasks. And this includes, you know, games, yes, but also video editing, photo editing, basically tasks that are more than just browsing the internet and checking your email, which, you know, that's more of a casual sort of everyday use kind of task. John Petty, president of JPR, also notes that, quote, "NVIDIA, Intel, and AMD have enthusiast CPUs and GPUs that are so powerful when combined with SSDs, that is solid state drives, and fast memory, they absolutely trounce the computing power and gaming capabilities of the newest console generation. Being able to drive 4K at acceptable frame rates is already a reality for the highest end configurations, and the mass market is now able to push 1440p. PC gamers with good displays are able to enjoy millions and millions of pixels more than console gamers get on HDTVs. This translates into being able to see more and get a better gaming experience." So, this really isn't, you know, revelatory news. He's kind of basically stating the obvious that, you know, certainly myself and others have been saying for a while, but this just happens to have concrete sales data behind it. You know, fortunately, it's confirming what we've been thinking all along, that in not so many words, these consoles, the new consoles, he's even saying the newest console generation here, simply isn't powerful enough. We're seeing mainstream chips now, for the PC, CPUs and GPUs alike, that even mid-range and certainly the high-end are kind of ridiculous. They're very, very powerful. And there is a story that I have to tell with that, and a point that I'm going to be making with later. And just keep this in mind, and especially the 1440p gaming that's becoming very mainstream. So there's two charts here. There's the first one up at the top, which is basically a quick little hardware chart showing the sales basically over the last from 2013, 2014, and projections for through to 2017. As we can see, obviously it's growing. It's just genuinely growing in a pretty steady manner. And then down here, this pie chart, we're seeing basically the PC gaming hardware split up into three segments. We're seeing a performance segment here, the mainstream segment here, and the enthusiast. Now, let's try to figure out what exactly do they mean by mainstream. Mainstream is more, like I said earlier, for, you know, casually checking your email, browsing, you know, maybe streaming some video content like Netflix. Performance, you want a little bit more work. Maybe you're doing some heavier tasks, maybe some gaming, but certainly more than the mainstream. And then the enthusiast, obviously, this is basically your jacked PCs. And we're seeing that the enthusiast is taking 44% of the pie here of the PC gaming hardware. That's pretty telling. It's very telling. So let me stop right there and ask my fellow hosts before I get into my later points. Mm-hmm. What does this mean for you guys, and what do you take away from this? Because I certainly have some thoughts.
These are gaming PCs, right?
This is worldwide PC gaming hardware market sales report. So This is, keeping in mind, this is not just
computers that were bought for the purpose of, or including the purpose of, gaming.
Yes, not strictly just to game.
Right.
But
so
they do,
I'd expect,
do some gaming.
Their low end, the casual, to be what we would expect to call a mid-range PC. The PC that's between $300 and $500.
This is what I would consider a PC that you can, if you walked into Best Buy, you can say, Hey, I want to do X, Y, and Z.
Boom. And they would hand you a box.
And they would hand you, you know, remember like the Dells from back in the day?
You want to kind of, if you're going to elaborate that point, I would say the Compaq, because they're all soldered together.
Yes.
That kind of computer. You can play games, but
really,
you're
not
getting it to run them too high.
Yeah.
Your secondary, the second one on the list, the people with the, what is that? What do I call them?
Performance.
Why, thank you. Performance. Those are the high-end PCs. Like, when I say high, I mean in settings. Like, setting your game to high.
Yeah, yes. He's not talking about, like, cost-wise. He's literally talking, yes.
Those are the PCs that you'd expect to pay $700-$800 for.
Yes,
probably.
And this,
the ones that have the power under the hood to make the games look pretty, but not so much that they can play Crysis.
They could play Crysis, not maxed out. But this is it, the way I would look at this performance is they're comparable,
no,
if not slightly
nothing
more.
Nothing can play Crysis.
these ones I consider, you know, comparable, if not slightly more powerful than the PlayStation 4. And I'm saying PlayStation 4 because it's the most powerful of the new systems. So that's what I would, because, you know, how many games are come out today and they say, yeah, the PS4 is comparable to high settings on a PC.
Okay. I would say that's about reasonable.
Yeah.
Now, the enthusiast, or the Shankton.
I'm not even going to try to not.
So the enthusiast PC is the high-end PC or ultra-setting PC. That's the PCs that no matter what game on the market right now you throw at it, it's going to run it on ultra and then laugh at you. Okay? Those are the PCs that are going to be upwards of $1,000. You see some of those stupid high-end ones ending up being just ridiculous amounts of money. I think we said, what, $6,000?
For one of the Steam machines?
Yep. Yeah.
Which is, anyway. But no, you're not right. You're not wrong, because that's one of the things that they say in this statement here, that, you know, that their consumers, power users, pay thousands for the ability to play games at very high settings and then do business. So it's one thing to keep in mind. This is not just to play games. Yes, your PC benefits if it's totally jacked in games, obviously. But like I do, you know, sometimes I create videos and I create, you know, Shank Spiel that takes processing power. Such processes only help if you have more power. So that's... I don't even know what Bradford is doing. I think he just told us.
I think Bradford's computer is freaking out.
He said he just told us to leave him behind, so he's getting left behind. Anyway,
he's trying to hop on his Xbox.
Nope, he's getting left behind. So, so.
But I'm here.
Oh, see,
damn it, Bradford!
Back. Oh, Bradford, we missed you, baby.
I can't add anything to this conversation, though, because I've missed most of it, so carry on.
Exactly. So, well, so Dave, you're not wrong. I think, yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to explain it for your listeners. And, in fact, we have listeners in the chat who are like, you guys need to make a dictionary.
That's...
For noobs.
That's actually not a bad idea, I'm not going
to... We're trying to explain it as best we can. Again,
on the fly.
If anything doesn't sound right, or if you don't... understand what we're trying to throw down, feel free to send us in an email at
is
questgamingcommunity@gmail.com.
that's
and we won't check it
if we have access. But yeah, no, that's a good way to think about it. Mainstream is everyday tasks, maybe some light gaming. Performance is comparable, you know, you're gonna pay a little bit more, can run games at high settings comparable to the PS4. Enthusiast is going to wipe the floor with the consoles. It's very blunt terms, but that's honestly the easiest way to think about it. But the thing to note is, yes, the enthusiast takes the majority of the pie, but it's also because it costs the most, you know? So it's kind of an obvious thing. So the actual number of enthusiasts, the raw number, might be lower than performance in mainstream, but because of the cost, obviously, it's going to offset it a little bit. Now, there's a couple talking points that I want to discuss here. So what does this exactly mean? How does this affect the consoles? When I say consoles, I mean the current generation consoles. Because we need to remember that the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, they're far from failing. They're doing very, very well. They're actually selling much better than their predecessors were at the same stage in their life cycle. I'm not sure if we have new numbers on the PS4, but last I heard, it was 7 million consoles sold. It's higher now. So that's pretty big. But what does this mean for the consoles? Because like we need to look at the first line here. 21.5 billion market is over twice the size of the console gaming hardware market. Twice the size. And this is obviously, this isn't users. This is talking about dollars. I mean, to me, what this means to me, which makes me even angrier, if possible, if at all possible. You see, remember how I keep yelling on about, you know, why are these developers coding to the lowest common denominator? And the argument used to be that was where all the install base was. That's where all the money was, right? Obviously, you're going to develop and code if your market's the largest, right? But we're seeing, I mean, this is black and white. I don't know how much more black and white you can get. 21.5 million, it's over twice the size of the console gaming market. This, to me, if I was a sensible publisher and developer, I would say, well, damn, that's twice as much as what the consoles are. Why don't we shift our focus to PC development and give them the love that they actually deserve? That's the first thing that screams out to me. I don't know what you guys take away from this so far.
You know, this could be a lot of things because they are gauging it on price. I know a lot of console people are going to hear this and say, well, it's higher because PCs cost more. Well, it depends on the PC.
As I will demonstrate later.
Right. But we've already said that in a roundabout way already. But the big thing is that your console players aren't wrong for thinking that paying a reasonable amount of money for a reasonable system with reasonable updates over the life of the system, it's not a bad idea. It isn't. It's a great idea. If that's the easiest way to do it, hell, Occam's razor, right?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. But when you look at this with the same thought that, you know, everybody's going to go through that thought process of Occam's razor. What's the simplest way for me to get the most benefit for my buck?
It's literally the biggest bang for my buck. Exactly.
Exactly. What is the best way to accomplish that? If you think, you know, everyone is of similar mindset. Of course, you know, the world's not that way. But if everyone was of the similar mindset and you look at the sales of the PC compared directly to the sales of the consoles, the only thing you can say is that the consoles in whole and by far are the better gaming platform of choice for this generation of systems.
Yep. No, you're not wrong.
But that doesn't mean that they're better. These statistics don't say that the systems are better or worse. These statistics state that the choice of the people...
Sales, yes.
The sales are better on the PC.
Exactly.
Or for the PC.
Yes, and remember, as we said earlier and as Dave broke down, this is taking into account not just super jacked PCs, like literally all PCs, gaming PCs. So, okay. Now, some things that I took away from this whole report. I think it would be dishonest if we did not mention that consumers, especially during this last generation, and especially leading up to the current console generation, and even today, you know, they're more educated about the technology that they use, and they do want the best. You want proof of this? Why do you think every single consumer is demanding 1080p, 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 1080p? I want 1080p, I want 60 frames per second. Now, granted, some of them might just be, you know, chanting, I want 1080p, but it would be false not to say that, you know, yeah, some of them actually, you know, they do know what 1080p is. They actually do know what 60 frames per second is. And it's because they're more technologically versed than they were in the past. Now, I think because of that, we're seeing a boon in this PC sales, because I think as they become more versed, and this was certainly the case with myself, as I understood what was resolution, what does frame rate actually mean, how do you discern frame rate, you quickly learn that, you know what, you want, if you're going to be paying for this and if this is going to be your hobby, you do want a certain level of performance. Me personally, I wanted the best, so that's why I made the switch for cross-platform titles to play it on the PC. I think this is not the only explanation. I think this is an explanation for this. And if anything, I think it highlights the, especially in this enthusiast segment, you know, the gap between the current consoles and your highest level PCs. I'm not talking about your performance, your mid-range. I'm talking about like your really, really uber powerful PCs, which, yes, they do cost thousands if you want them to, but you're going to get what you pay for. So there's something definitely to be said about that. And Dave mentioned this earlier, and I want to point this out. One of the misconceptions of, you know, if you want an uber jacked PC, specifically speaking with this performance one, you're going to have to pay thousands. It's not true. And in fact, there was a setup that I built earlier today, which I'm bringing it up on the stream right here. Let me zoom in so you guys can see it. And this is a PC that's priced at $563. And if you remember, their Xbox One, when it was priced originally, was $500. So, you know, for the price of an Xbox One and a game, effectively, you can get a PC that's significantly more powerful than it. And actually more powerful than the PlayStation 4 itself. And I think this is one of the reasons, Dave, you know, is because it is getting cheaper. I mean, well, look at this. You're looking at the components list right here. This is better. These are better components that are than in the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One for really not that much money. And I think because of this affordability, a lot more people are finding that, you know what, PCs really aren't thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to get a good experience. So that is my little PC Master Race rant here.
Oh, Lord.
So I'm pretty sure we lost Bradford, thank God. So anyway, any words, anything you have to say on this, Dave, before we move on?
No, I just want to say that you got to keep in mind that, as we've already said many times before, the consoles are weak this generation. But I think that's a good thing, because if the consoles survive this generation, next generation, they'll come out swinging.
That's assuming, though, that the next generation does, that this current generation does not last as long as the last one.
I don't care how long it lasts. If next generation, they better up their game.
I'll say this right now. If I want my PC next generation to feel thoroughly outclassed. If that happens, Shank will be a happy man. Sound good? All right, cool.
I think so. Okay. Bradford had to step away for having internet issues, but before we move on, I just want to say thank you, Bradford, for coming on the show tonight. It was awesome having you. Thank you very, very much. You are amazing.
He's totally a hero.
Well, accidentally a hero, yes. All right, Shank.
Yes, sir.
Quatwa?
Quatwa, yes. This is a slightly different Quatwa than usual. Usually it's, you know, things that I pick going on in the industry. This one I figured I'd be a little bit more base, I guess. Basically, gaming is very much an emotional hobby for us, except for Dave, who just smashes things.
I do.
And we as gamers, more often than not, we tend to purchase games more with our hearts, really, rather than our heads. Because of, you know, how personal gaming is. Gaming is a very, very personal thing for, you know, everybody. So, simply put, what are the strongest emotions games evoke from you? Of course, I'm posing this not just to myself and Dave, but to you listeners and viewers out there, so please chime in. So basically, I want to start with, you know, like, what game, Dave, first, before I go, what game evoked the strongest emotions from you, and what were those?
It's a good thing I've talked about the Telltale game series at the beginning of the episode, because it wraps
as you
up
did,
right
yeah.
here. The Telltale games, the way that they present the characters, the amount of emotion and effort they put into the storyline behind those characters really draw you in. They really bring you into the story. And I love the Telltale games for that. Not much else has risen this much emotion in me as I get out of those games. Hell, even the Back to the Future Telltale games, I've gotten angry at characters because of how they've reacted. And, you know, I really put effort into wanting to see things done, and I root for certain characters, and I'm thinking up different parts of the different games that come to mind. So if it sounds incoherent, it's if you play all the games, you'd be like, oh my god, he's talking about that time when the one woman captured Emmett's, you know, oh my god. So I really love these games. And it's not just Wolf Among Us. It is every Telltale game that I've come across really has blown me away.
Right. So
what I'm saying basically is I really don't like Telltale games.
That's okay. Because, right. See, I wasn't sure of that. I just wanted to make, double check. Okay, that's good. So basically these games suck. That's what you're just – basically what you just said.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. And I know chat room, if you guys are chiming in, definitely let us know.
They already are. In fact, Yap in the chat room is saying – gosh, I'm really looking forward to the Game of Thrones Telltale game, The Feels. Yeah, I feel you there, man. I'm going to pick that up as soon as it hits. And that and the Tales from the Borderlands. I'm so excited about that.
Tales from the... Okay, and that's different from the pre-sequel. God, there's so many Borderlands stuff going on.
Yeah, in fact, it's obvious from Borderlands 2 that they're developing a Borderlands MMO.
Ah, well, all right. Now for me personally, I don't know if I've actually mentioned it on this show, but definitely on Twitter and maybe other shows, I don't know. But there have been two games that just completely stand out above everything else I've played, that have quite literally changed my life. The first obviously was Oblivion. The feeling of just complete freedom as I'd never experienced in a game before in my life. I mean, that game showed me what games can actually do and what they can actually mean to somebody. I will absolutely never, ever forget, you know, the emotions that I felt when just climbing out of the sewer. I mean, that was really lasting impact on me. The second game was The Last of Us. And it's kind of the same reasons, Dave, that you like Telltale. I mean, the characters are so well fleshed out. You know where they're coming from. You know, I mean, even just when you're talking to them, the slightest kind of sigh that they do, the slightest wrinkle in the corner of their mouth, you know why they're doing that, and you can feel the emotion. And it's the only game where I've, A, not only cried, but B, cried twice. And if you've played the game, you probably know which points I've talked about. I have never, ever cried in a video game ever in my life, ever. For like, I don't know, like the, I don't know how long I've been playing games, 18 years maybe? That game made me cry twice, and I've never felt emotion like that. I mean, it left me emotionally drained, and I was texting Brian this. I was emotionally drained for that entire week after I had completed the game. And it's the remastered version, rather, is coming out July 29th in the U.S. If you haven't picked it up on the PS3, do yourself a favor and play it, because it really, again, it was one of those life-changing moments for me. It taught me what games can actually do. Really amazing. So enough of me. Do we have anything else from the chat before we move on?
We do. Whoever else is on QuestGaming.net are saying, Poker Night's a pretty good game. Yeah, I know. I didn't even think of that one.
I bet you $100 that's a Varwin.
Probably. Crispy's saying, my heart pounds a little harder whenever I think back to playing Amnesia.
Oh my god.
Yayaps says, sadness awe-inspiring, pure fun, and importance of design. All the things that go into making a great game.
I would agree.
Ralrus in the chat says, thinking about all the games I played, I'd have to say Final Fantasy X. Can't say why, but I really got attached to the characters in that game. I both loved and hated how they ended that game. I agree, Ralrus, absolutely. With the exception of the scene where they become closer together by whistling. That didn't do it for me. But everything else of Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy X is one of my favorite Final Fantasies. It's probably my second favorite of the entire series, just because of how well they develop the characters and how along the storyline you meet the bad guys, but there's no true good or bad guy in that series.
Oh, so it's like Game of Thrones.
It's very Game of Thrones, where the bad guys have motivation as much as the good guys have motivation from nearly every direction. It's a very... I love stories that have that. You have the...
Gray.
You
want the gray, the morally gray.
The morally gray, yeah, the anti-heroes. You have that.
I'm 100% with you on that. It's weird. I think of myself as a very black and white person, but specifically when you're talking about games, a medium where creativity is everything,
mm-hmm.
Why not do morally gray?
You know, I actually was just talking about this on Sunday with the Rift people. There's one of my favorite storylines in any game, is actually in Rift, an MMO, is the story of Hylas. He actually is the first area on the Guardian side of the Rift game. You follow a anti-hero who his main purpose through life is to protect his people, to protect his land, and ends up giving away everything for that purpose and destroying himself and everything he loved along the way.
That's epic.
It is very epic. And it's a tragedy, but he's morally gray, and I really love that, and you really get drawn in because of that, because you can see
the struggle,
you know, the struggle that he has. You can see that he's really fighting for his people, but at the same time you're like, dude, I have to stop you. I don't want to stop you. I want to help you, but because of what you're doing, I do have to stop you. And that it makes it rough. It's a dilemma. It's hard to make those choices, and that really, those games, those moments, those emotions that get brought forward are very few and far between, but that is the hallmark of good game writing.
Yeah, I was just, yeah, that, I mean, a lot of people are going to crap on this, but Mass Effect 2, there was, sorry, 3, there was one specific scene involving a certain Quarian. That was rough. I quit the game and stopped playing it for a day before I made the decision. But yeah, man, those choices, you got pretty rough. I think that's it for that. But so before we go ahead and close...
No. Before we go on, I would like to ask you about something, Shane.
Oh yes, okay, all right.
Dr. Scholl's massaging gel heel cups.
TweakedAudio.com quality earbuds. Free worldwide shipping, guys. That's right. Even if you live in Castle Wolfenstein, you will get free worldwide shipping. Unbeatable customer service. Just ask Avarwin. His cat chews through a pair of headphones pretty much like once every day and a half.
Yeah.
they're very familiar with him. Of course, you get a lifetime warranty. With our code off the record, that's one word off the record, you get 30% off your order. That is a pretty big deal, guys. Definitely, my opinion, I would check out the parkour because, I mean, you can peace out with those and probably, climb up and down structured buildings much more easily with the parkour headset.
It does. It lets you jump over building sites.
There you go. You can just Assassin's Creed everything. Again, that's tweakedaudio.com. Use our code off the record, one word, to get 30% off your order. And Dave, controller gratings are quite effective.
Why they are, especially when you're looking at how to reach us. You can reach us at Totally Heroes. I caught your segue. You can reach me at DNForce on Twitter. Shank's on Twitter at ShankTank. That's Shank, T-H, Tank. Brian's dead, but you can find him at Silent Fury 007. And finally, the Grand Con, Joseph Bradfududu, died during our show, but you can find him at LOTR Lore. You can send us in an email at questgamingcommunity@gmail.com. You can find us on our forums at questgamingcommunity.com. You can also find us on Facebook. That's at facebook.com/questgamingnetwork. Google+, google.com/++questgamingnetwork. All right, Shank.
Yo.
Is there anything we want to talk about before I throw you into the community segment?
Just as I plug every week, we got a new Shank spiel this Thursday. This is actually, I know about what I'm going to be writing about before, 2 days before. And it's actually going to be early access on consoles, goes live Thursday, 9 a.m. Eastern time.
I'm excited about this one.
Yeah.
This is a big controversy.
No, it's in not. Fact, no. It's not a controversy. It's absolute bullcrap. That's what it is.
I have more for you if you'd like more information.
And by information, do you mean ammo?
Ammo.
Okay, great. Yeah. It's as you can tell, I'm basically just going to ream into these people. It's going to be pure rage, so yeah, it'll be a fun time. That's my Shank spiel Thursday, 9 a.m. Eastern time on questgamingnetwork.com and on youtube.com/questgamingnetwork, which should actually smoothly lead into the community segment. Of course, you guys can see if you're checking on the live stream right here. QuestGamingNetwork.com. We've got news such as Bradford's awesome Evo 2014 article. I actually read this twice this morning because I honestly didn't understand half of the games in there. But the Pikachu thing was kind of cool, and definitely check it out. There's a lot of information in his article, guys. Definitely worth a read to digest there. We also have other opinion pieces here as well as just other news from around the industry, questgamingnetwork.com. You can donate $10 to our show if you would like to get a special mention. We would greatly appreciate your continued loyalty and support to our awesomely growing network to continue to bring you awesome content. If you do decide to donate, it's much appreciated. If you just tell us which show you would like to be shouted on, we will do that for you. We have other shows such as Rift with Reforged. This is live Sunday mornings on Twitch and later available on YouTube.
Yeah, I gotta give them applause. They really stepped up the game over the past 2 weeks and have made that show into something golden.
Excellent, dude. That sounds awesome.
That is absolutely worth the watch. Even if you don't play Rift, the amount of lore that they stuffed into that, the amount of dev talk that they stuffed into it, they really hit the nail on the head this past week. It is worth watching. I don't even play SWTOR. I watch our SWTOR show, too, but I recommend it. Even if you don't play Rift, give Rift with Reforged a try. It will entertain you.
There you go. So wake up Sunday mornings, make yourself some coffee, and check them out on Twitch. And, of course, later available on YouTube. SWTOR Reforged. This is Monday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern. Now, we like to think of them as the warm-up act to Totally Heroes there, Dave?
Yeah, there are Iggy Azalea to our Kesha.
That's actually right. Okay.
That's quite Kojic.
Yeah, that's definitely check out that show. Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Elder Scrolls Off the Record, which both Dave and I absolutely are the most important hosts on that show and pretty much carry...
Are there other hosts on that show?
We pretty much carry that. Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and then Classic Elder Scrolls Night, which is now bi-weekly, this week, actually, we have a broadcast and a recording of that. So that's Fridays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, bi-weekly. And, of course, we have The White Council. This is bringing you the lore from Lord of the Rings and Middle-Earth. In general, one LOTRO quest at a time. We have new episodes every Monday and Friday at noon Eastern Time on our YouTube page. And in fact, episode 5 concerning the Rangers went up today. And a certain dwarf basically saved everybody's life, as per usual. I'm basically the best at that game. You can find all the ways to hear the shows you just heard about and contact us on our sidebar right here. If you're looking at on the stream, it says follow us, giant list of how to follow us, including the Stitcher radio app on your mobile device and iTunes. Check out all of our gaming videos, how-to guides, and recorded Twitch streams at youtube.com/questgamingnetwork. And you can check out, of course, our live shows and our scheduled streams on our Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/Quest Gaming Network. Dave.
Yes. All right, guys. Shank. Are we ready to wrap up the show? Is there anything we're missing?
I'm a little concerned of how we're going to do this little outro piece.
We got it.
Okay.
All right. Well, I guess it's time. So, Totally Heroes is a Quest Gaming Network production. My name is Dave Dean Force Adams. Have a great week, everyone.
We did it, you guys. We're totally heroes.
I can't believe it's all over. What do we do now?
What do you mean? Now we can finally play the game.